Psalm 68, verses 1 through 18. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad, let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song before him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. You confirmed your inheritance when it was parched. Your creatures settled in it. You provided in your goodness for the poor, O God. The Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are great in host. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings there, it was snowing in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word. Amen. Over the years in ministry, I found that there are those in the church who struggle with assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation involves a deep commitment in the heart, not a presumption, but a commitment and understanding in the heart that God is going to take you out of this world into heaven and his heavenly city of Jerusalem. Assurance of salvation differs a little from assurance of faith. You may know that you trust Christ and you have a sense that you do trust Christ. But there are those who labor over this deeper level of assurance in the heart and the confidence born of God that he actually is going to take them to heaven. And our confession tells us that there are those who struggle long and hard with regard to this matter, even throughout the whole of this life. And there may be some of you in this congregation who have struggled with this matter of assurance, the assurance of salvation. But our text this morning leads us in a good direction to solve, or at least put us on a path to remedy this lack of assurance. Because in this psalm, we see that God is surely leading us not to a earthly Zion, but to a heavenly city, a heavenly Zion. And he's confirming this fact because he delivers us from sin. He delivers you from sin. He cares for you. And he does conquer all of your enemies. And so the thing I want you to get this morning is simply this. Be assured that God is in fact leading you forward to the heavenly Jerusalem because he has delivered you from sin through Jesus Christ. He is caring for you in this life, and he is conquering all of your enemies and his enemies. This is the direction our text and our psalm is leading us this morning. Let's look at it now. The psalm, first of all, is a psalm of David in which God is leading Israel from Sinai. And we get that note in the very first verse. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And let those who hate him flee before him. David is leaning upon Moses here. And if you turn back, keep your finger there in Psalm 68, but turn back in your Bibles, please, to Numbers, the book of Numbers, and chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. In Numbers chapter 10, the people of God have completed their work at Sinai, and they are now about to begin their sojourn. And you see in verse 11, now in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, the cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journeys. And so the journey began. And then in verse 35, we have this special note as to what took place when the journey began. Then it came about, when the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." When the ark of the covenant set out in its journey, and the people of God were led by him from Sinai on that journey to enter the promised land, the prospect was that the enemies of God and of the people would be scattered and melt away before them. And so the psalm begins with that great note. Turn back, if you would, to the psalm now. And notice how the psalmist begins, how David begins. And let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. You see, again, this was the prospect as the people of God would embark upon their great journey. But this psalm is not only about Israel and Moses leading the people from Sinai. The psalm is also about Jesus Christ, and it's about you. Look at verse 18 in this particular psalm. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts from among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. This is a text that the Apostle Paul quotes specifically with regard to Jesus Christ. Keep your finger there again in Psalm 68 and look at Ephesians chapter 4 and that familiar text as it's quoted by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Notice how Paul employs Psalm 68, verse 18. Verse 7 in Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. See, this is about you and me and Jesus Christ. This is about the gifts that God gives you and me, and it's about the gifts that God gives you and me through Jesus Christ. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And who are the captives? In the Old Testament, they were those whom David subdued as he conquered that mountain, Zion. But Paul applies it to you and me. And here the captives are none other than you and me, taken captive by Jesus Christ. And what is Zion? Well, read the text again. When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Yes, he was in heaven, but he descended to these lower parts, into the cesspool of a fallen world, in order to save the likes of you and me. And verse 10 then says, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Yes, he ascended into heaven to the heavenly temple, the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, this psalm then, in Psalm 68, is not simply about Moses and Israel, but it is about Jesus Christ and about you and me. And it points to Jesus Christ, and it points to you and me. And so there's a great lesson for us in this psalm. Let's go back to the psalm now and look at the fore part of it again. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish. But let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Lift up a song for Him who rides through the desert, whose name is the Lord, and exult before Him. The enemies of God are to melt away, as we've said. And who is it that's leading the people? The end of verse 4 tells us. His name is the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's Yah, the shortened form of Yahweh or Jehovah. And that term Jehovah is carried into the New Testament as Lord. And who is it that we proclaim as Lord? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ for whom there is a desert highway made to lead the people. And as I mentioned earlier, John the Baptist picks up this very idea from Isaiah chapter 40, where the mountains are to be made low and the valleys are to be lifted up and a highway is to be made in the deserts for our God. And it's the very same picture. And so it is Jesus Christ who is leading forth the people. I'd like you to see this a little bit more clearly with another New Testament text. Keep your finger in Psalm 68, and this time If you would, please, go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. In just a few verses, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." Yes, they were in the wilderness. And who was it really that led them? Paul says Christ was in their midst. And so, friends, I submit to you, Jesus Christ is in your midst, leading you. And that's one reason you're here today, sitting in those pews, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 10. "Now all these things happened as examples for us," as types, literally, as types, as foreshadowings. And verse 11, "Now these things happened to them as an example," or happened to them typologically, literally it says. In other words, the people of God coming out in the wilderness under Moses was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ leading His people. That's you and me. And so Paul draws that similarity between what happened to Moses and the people of Israel in the wilderness and what is taking place with you and me now, presently, in this world. Go back, if you would, to Psalm 68. And look at verse 5 along this line. "A father of the fatherless and a judge for widows is God in His holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity." Who are the fatherless? Who are the widows? I submit to you, friends, that's you and me. And who is the great God and Father of all but our Father in heaven and through Jesus Christ? We have the privilege of calling Him Father and saying to Him, as you did earlier, "Our Father, who art in heaven." He makes a home for the lonely. And He leads the prisoners into prosperity. He does that for the likes of you and me. But that's not the end of it. Actually, that's just the introduction to the psalm. Look now at verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. God delivers His people and brings them to Sinai. That's the historical context in the psalm. "O God, when You went forth before Your people, when You marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. You confirmed Your inheritance when it was parched. Your creatures settled in it. You provided in Your goodness for the poor, O God." Here is a record of God bringing the people out of Egypt, delivering them from bondage, and bringing them into the wilderness of Sinai. This is the idea in the psalm. And it was, as it were, when the people were delivered from bondage in Egypt, that the elements themselves were shaken and the earth itself was shaken. Yes, the plagues that took place in Egypt. The dividing of the Red Sea so that the people walked across as on dry land. And then when they came to Sinai, the quaking of the mountain itself. And before they came to Sinai, weary the people were. And what did God do? He provided manna from heaven. And He brought forth the quail. And He rained, as it were, bread and meat from heaven to provide for the people. Look at verse 8 again. The earth quaked. The heavens also dropped rain in the presence of God. And verse 9, You shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. You confirmed Your inheritance when it was parched, the New American Standard says. Literally, it's when You were weary, when the inheritance, the people were weary. God confirmed the people and gave them food from heaven and blessed them and cared for them. And what did God do at Sinai? But He drew the people together at Sinai and established His covenant with them. He not only delivered them from Egypt, but the very purpose for which He brought them to Sinai was to form them into a covenant community where they would serve God in this covenant relationship with Him. And is that not the case with each of you? Is that not how God has been pleased to deal with each of you? Bringing you out of darkness into light. Bringing you not only out of darkness into light and converting you, but establishing His covenant with you and bringing you into a covenant community in which you are privileged to serve God. This is how God works. And in that covenant community, God continues to care for you. What a blessing this is. Look at the psalm further. Verses 11 and following. The Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. The kings of the army flee, they flee, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and the pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings, there, it was snowing in Zalmon. The scene now shifts in the psalm. The people have moved from Sinai. That was part of the journey, correct? The beginning of the psalm, moving from Sinai now and into an occupation of the promised land. And there were battles to be fought. And there were kings to be subdued. Verse 11 says, The Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. The kings flee, they flee. And she who remains at home will divide the spoil. And actually, the picture is a very simple one. It's a picture of the women gathering together to celebrate the victories of the armies as the armies come home. And you remember some of those pictures. Early on in the history of Israel, when the people crossed the Red Sea, Miriam came and the people celebrated a great victory. And then later, when David, for example, came home from the conquest of the Philistines, there was a great celebration and the women went out and they sang a great song, much to the chagrin of King Saul. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so there was that celebration. Verse 13, when you lie down among the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver and its pinions with glistening gold. The margin in the New American Standard Version speaks about the cooking stones. And Calvin talks about the pots. You get the idea. This is a verse that it's a little hard to translate. But I think the idea is simply this, that among the charred stones, when there is rubble and there's been war, and yet there's been victory, God is pleased to preserve His people. And His people are like a dove that settles among the charred rocks. And when you look at the dove, you can see the silver under its wings and the gold around its pinions, around its feet. It's unharmed and it's protected by God. That's God's people. That's what God does. And He does that sort of thing for you and for me. And when there are difficult confrontations in the office or at school or in other circumstances, what do? We repair back to the Savior. We repair back to our homes. We repair back to the church. And we find the settled position of peace and tranquility before God, because God is the one who rules over all, and He is the one who puts us in a settled and peaceful position, like that dove nestled among the charred stones. And then we come, you see, to Zion in verses 15 and following. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for His abode? The Bashan mountain range was a range of peaks at least twice in altitude of that of Zion, a range of peaks to the north and east of Jerusalem. And from Zion you can see those peaks in the distance. And the psalmist is reflecting on those high peaks that he's saying, O great mountains of Bashan, why do you look with jealousy upon that more lowly peak? Is it because God has chosen that more lowly peak to be His dwelling place? Why do you look, verse 16, with envy, O mountains, with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for His abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. You see, here's the dwelling place of God. Verse 17, the chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. Now what is taking place? The dwelling place of God is no longer Sinai in the wilderness, but it is now Zion, the holy city, the place He has chosen for His abode. And He will dwell there. And what is that earthly Jerusalem and that earthly Zion, but a picture and a portrayal of the heavenly Jerusalem to which it points? We've already reflected on that idea. And so it is that at one time, as in Jerusalem and on that earthly Zion, myriads of angels would be collected because there was the designated place of God. It is now, friends, the more particular abode of God in heaven to which that ancient abode was pointing, and to the myriads of angels that surround His throne. And this is that to which the psalmist is pointing. And so what does he say? You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men. In the Old Testament context, it was David who ascended Zion's hill. He is the one who conquered the Jebusites and consolidated that capital for his own use. But as we've already said, Paul takes this same concept and relates it to Jesus Christ, who ascended on high, that is, to heaven on high, and He leads captive a host of captives, friends. And who are those captives? Who is that host? That's you and me. That's you and me. And so once again, this psalm is about the church. It's about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the people of God, the people whom God brings out of bondage and delivers from sin. It's about the people whom God makes covenant with and forms into covenant communities. It's about the people of God that God cares for. And it's about the people of God whose enemies God conquers. And who are those people? Again, I say to you, friends, we are those people. And so I say to you, is there in your heart qualms on this matter of assurance? Be assured, friends, Jesus Christ is taking you to the heavenly Zion because He has delivered you from sin. He has been caring for you as your people, as you are His people. And He is in the midst of conquering all of His and your enemies. All of these things, you see, conspire together to assure you of the fact that you are among the people whom God is taking to heaven on high. Do you get the idea? Here are the people. Thank God. He has been pleased through Jesus Christ to deliver the likes of you and me. Thank God that you can look back and you can say, yes, there is testimony in my life as to how God did indeed and is continuing to care for me in very specific ways. And yes, there have been enemies about. I remember that situation in my office or at the school. And God delivered me from the enemy. And He will continue to do so. Be assured, friends, that God is carrying you through this life to Zion, which is above, because He has delivered you from sin through Christ. He is caring for you in this life, And he is conquering all of his and your enemies. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. We've been only able to dip slightly into your word. But we're grateful, Father, for the lesson of it. And we're thankful that we may therefore sing your praise because you have been so good to us in saving us, in caring for us, in protecting us, and you will be good to us by taking us home to the place designated for us in heaven itself. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.